Oh, if you care about animals and you love them and adore them and you want to be kind, don't eat them anymore. You can get all your protein and nutrients from plants and you feel so good, you want to sing and shout and dance.
Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of justice, peace, freedom, wellness, health, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. I am thrilled and very honored and very grateful that we are joined by Gretchen Ryan. Gretchen Ryan is a vegan artist in Santa Barbara, California. Welcome, Gretchen. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Hi, Marlene. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so thrilled and honored about this. And I'm very excited to hear the details of your painting, your great painting, Liberty, Leading the Animals, and the upcoming film. For our thoughtful listeners, here's Gretchen Ryan telling her story.
So I was born in Boulder, Colorado, and that's where I grew up. I always loved animals, and I babysat some kids that were vegan and was intrigued by their family and how they ate. Had some vegan friends, a couple, and they definitely influenced me later in life, but the way I was raised, I didn't, couldn't figure out what to eat whenever I tried to stop eating animals. But Boulder's a beautiful place to grow up. Unfortunately, I was in a catastrophic car accident, Jeep accident, where I was a passenger in a Jeep when I was 16 that went off a mountain road accidentally off a cliff. And then I ended up in the hospital, had really major surgeries, and haven't been able to walk since. So I had to go from being a, you know, hiker and running track and being a normal teenager to being, to leading a very different kind of life. A beautiful thing is that I was always an artist. I always wanted to paint. I ever since I was very little, I loved drawing and painting and felt that that was my future. Something to do with animals or art was what I loved. And when I was in the hospital recovering, people gave me art supplies. And it was a miracle that I survived. And I adapted over the years. I did some amazing things with my life, because that I had been a bit more timid about the physical world before this accident. And after going through that, I had this realization that life could end at any moment and I should just live it to the fullest. And I just said yes to things I never would have. So I got a phone call at some point. I had gotten a phone call from somebody who saw me in a local paper doing some little modeling thing and in a wheelchair. And they said, oh, we built this mountain bike for people in wheelchairs and we need a girl to race it. Would you do it? And I said, sure. But I had no idea what I was getting into, but I ended up racing, being the first female off-road wheelchair racer in the world. I did that for 4 years. I did it in Japan, California, Utah, Colorado. And I would ride this bike. We rode up the chairlifts and then down these crazy slopes, and people would leave in ambulances. It was the National Off-Road Bike Association, mostly men, mostly wearing motorcycle gear. It was a super high adrenaline sport. Anyway, so I did that. I wasn't athletic really, but I loved being outside, and I had, you know, it was a very small team, very small group of competitors against me. But anyway, so I did that and traveled around. I also, when I was 19, when I was in the hospital, I also was visited by a guy came to the hospital who was in a wheelchair, who also was driving a Harley Davidson that he had modified with hand controls and a sidecar. And I got to be friends with him, and I bought that from him for a few years later, that exact motorcycle. So I met a good friend in Colorado, and she was a number of years older than me, but she was so much fun. So we would ride motorcycles, and So these were different ways I had of experiencing making up for a bit of the shortcomings. But what I still always loved was painting. I always loved art, and I kept going to school. I went through, I graduated from high school. I went to the University of Colorado at Boulder. I got a Bachelor of Fine Arts, and then I moved to Los Angeles. And when I first got to Los Angeles, I think that was in 2000. What was it, 2000? And I was looking for a place to volunteer. Actually, I had gotten my first dog when I first moved to Los Angeles, and I realized how emotional he was, how vibrant and alive he was, how sensitive he was. His name was Tyrone. He was the cutest little thing. And I had friends that were vegetarian, and I made this connection somehow that I would never eat this dog. And if my friends were fine not eating animals, I couldn't justify eating animals. So I stopped eating animals. And a year, that was in 2000, then a year later in 2001, when I was living in Los Angeles, I went to this amazing event that they had every year. I think they're still having it, and I think the name's changed, but it was called World Fest. And I heard it advertised on the radio. And I went to this event, and I picked up a CD that somebody was giving away from a table that was called Veganism in a Nutshell. And I put it in my CD player and I listened to it all the way home. By the time I got home, it was a 35-minute talk. I said, I'm going to be vegan, and I never have stopped being vegan. I've been vegan ever since that moment. And I started watching all of the animal rights films. I watched Meet Your Meat. I watched Earthlings. And I was grieving, as I'm sure you can relate, to learn how these animals were treated behind closed doors. And I just simply never wanted to think about how animals were treated or killed. I was raised eating meat at every meal, and dairy and eggs, of course. I already was a step into this with being vegetarian, but I didn't have any idea that eggs and dairy caused so much suffering. So this was something I just felt, well, I've got to tell everybody. And if everybody knew what I just learned, you know, just from these movies showing everybody what was going on, if I just shared this, the world would react like I did and become vegan. So yep. I just got to teach people this message.
Yeah.
And at the time I was going home for Christmas, and I loved this painting I had seen by the artist Eugene Delacroix, the French artist, romantic painter. And I had asked for a book, a specific book of his work, for Christmas from my parents. I was back in Colorado, and I got this little book of Delacroix's work. And on the front was the painting he did called Liberty Leading the People, which everybody has seen. If it's not familiar by the title, if you see the image, oh, of course, this is the painting. This figure is what our Statue of Liberty on the United States was based on in the painting. It's about this French Revolution. It was after the revolution of Marie Antoinette, but it was this figure, allegorical figure of liberty, holding the French flag. She's walking next to a soldier, a boy carrying a bayonet, and then they're walking over the bodies of citizens and soldiers, and she's leading this citizen army against tyranny, and there's a fire in the background, and it's a huge, massive painting in the Louvre. But I was looking at this book and seeing this painting, and it just popped into my head. I said, I'm going to make a painting that's liberty leading the animals. And I'm going to do a version of this, and it's going to be huge. And it's going to be Lady Liberty, and she's going to be holding a torch, like our statue. And she's going to be followed by, I saw it all at once, this Noah's Ark of animals, but it's going to be all the animals that are used for food, clothing, science. These animals that are being abused on this mass scale. And so I thought she was going to lead all these animals. And so this was my goal, Marlene, from that time. This was the year 2000, 2001. And I talked about this painting for years. So being paraplegic, not being able to stand, I wanted to make a huge painting. I knew somehow I needed a way of making this painting, and would need the time, and I would need the materials. So it wasn't anything I had at that time. And I still really needed to learn to paint better. I went back to LA. I got into the school, the Art Center College of Design in Pasadena. I graduated from that school with honors, and I worked as an illustrator and artist in Los Angeles. I was always hustling. I had a dear little house. I rented out rooms, and I had a lovely benefactor at one point. This was, I think, in 2000. I think it was around 2000. Well, so in 2000, around 2016, 17, I had a gallery I was working with in New York. I had a show in Paris. I saw that painting in real life. I had shows in New York. I had a show in Singapore, and I was doing figurative paintings. I was doing portraits, and I was just enjoying my art. But what I would tell everybody, and especially if I met anybody into animal rights, I would tell them, "I'm going to make this painting called Liberty Leading Animals," and I describe what I described to you, and it's going to be huge, and it's going to be, it's going to change the world. So then I got this I had this beautiful this gallery in New York. They created an easel. At one point, I'd met this really famous artist called Chuck Close, who gave me the phone number of his easel maker. He was in a wheelchair. His easel was a two-story easel that went all the way down and down a second floor, so the man could sit still and the painting would lower into the floor below him, and he could reach the top of tall, huge paintings, massive paintings. But so I got that easel builder's phone number, but he wasn't making that easel anymore. But my gallery in New York had an architect create an easel for me in my living room, where they dug up the floor of the living room and built a channel that the painting could slide into that went about 3 feet below the floor. And I calculated if I could reach up 7 feet, if I could reach as high as my hand would go when the painting was all the way under the ground, I could reach the height of 7 feet. So, and then the wall in this house I was in, the widest I could make the painting was 13 feet. So I needed a canvas that was 13 feet wide, 7 feet tall. And again, this was still a period of years because I was always trying to pay for myself as an artist at this point. And then I had a lovely woman. Her name is Jana Cole. I had met her through animal rights. She was a donor, a philanthropist, and she heard about my project and she offered to buy me the canvas I needed. So she paid for this amazing canvas builder in Los Angeles called Lucius Hudson. She helped me. She just paid for it, and we got this huge canvas.
We're listening to Gretchen Ryan, a vegan artist who's joining us from Santa Barbara, California. Let's have a little musical interlude by Charity and the Jam Band.
We love animals. So we eat plants instead. We love animals. It's kind, and we want to spread it. You can make plants into any kind of food. Butter, eggs, and meat substitutes. So your favorite meals don't have to disappear. You just learn how to make them from a recipe, my dear. We love animals, so we eat plants instead. We love animals. It's kind, and we want to spread it. We eat grains, beans, and legumes. We eat a tempeh, seitan, and tofu.
Thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break and then we'll continue with our program. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts.
Cupping up the planet with a plant-based diet. Oh, it's better for the land, sea, air, and climate. So next time you're wondering what to put on your plate, choose peace, not harm. Choose love. Don't wait. Does this resonate? Hey, let's celebrate. Up to our heads. We love animals. It's kind, and we're gonna spread it. We love animals, so we eat plants instead.
We're joined by vegan artist Gretchen Ryan. We're continuing our conversation where Gretchen is talking about her 7 foot by 13 foot oil painting, liberty, leading the animals.
And meanwhile, I spent a year making a study. Well, first I did a pencil sketch, and I gave that as a donation to a benefit for Mercy for Animals. And Sean Monson, who made Earthlings, actually bought that sketch and still has it. And then I spent months with all these animals in this file, this Photoshop file that was over 300 layers. And so it would take forever for my computer to move one thing to the next. And I would meticulously cut out all these little chicks digitally and all these little cats. And then I never wanted to use someone else's photo directly, or I would buy the rights to some photos. But then a lot of them, I put the head of this and the body of this, create these animals that could all be running. And I'd move them all around and move them around and move them around. And I did this day after day after day for months and months, making this composition digitally. Then I did a painting of that was 30 inches wide about 30 inches wide, but to scale. And then I actually had been friends with Moby, and I showed it to him at one point, and he said, is that for sale? Can I buy it? And he bought it and put it in his office in Los Angeles. Then I moved the animals around more after doing that. And when the canvas came and I had it in my studio, I started sketching it. And at the same time, during the period of starting this, I got a job teaching at Art Center College of Design in Pasadena. I taught there for 3 years. So the entire time I was teaching, until I moved to Santa Barbara and stopped teaching. But I was always doing other things while making this painting. So when I say I worked on this painting for 7 years or 8 years or whatever it ended up being, I think I started these studies in 2018. It wasn't like I was doing that all. I had to do all the things to support making the painting, because I got nothing out of doing the painting the whole time. It was just a labor of love. And I calculated I've put at least, around 11,000 hours into it. roughly, that's like my rough guesstimate. So I moved to Santa Barbara. I moved this huge thing. It was like partway in process. I was time-lapsing with a GoPro hung in the middle of the room the whole beginning of this. But then I moved and I didn't set the time-lapse up again. And then I always wanted a documentary about it. So I met somebody in 2 years ago now, and he was this wonderful man who was on the board of the Plantrician Project, and I was doing I had been commissioned to make an illustration for an award they give every year, and the year they were giving it to Dr. Joel Furman. So I made this dark, cute image of the vegetables and plants he says to eat, and I was at this event they have every year. And they give this award to a special doctor every year. So I was there. I met somebody on the board who was this wonderful man named Daniel, who I told him about the big painting. He said, this should be a movie. And I said, yeah, I've always wanted it to be a movie. And I wanted this to be, to document this, because I want people to see the painting, but movies are so much more accessible, obviously, I don't know where the painting is going to go. I have no idea what its future is. I'm making it on faith. I want people to see this image and to understand what it is. I want people to see this painting and for it to have an impact like that painting Delacroix did, for people to see it and for it to mean freedom. What my feeling about it was, I wanted people to see this painting, and when they saw it, they wanted to emulate it. They wanted to be like the character Liberty in the painting. I wanted to make a depiction of what our relationship with animals should be. That is one of, protecting, liberating, being together with, and setting free. And so I wanted this to be an iconic thing that went out into the world and made an impact. And so he put me in touch with this amazing filmmaker, this documentary film team called Fauna Films. So Daniel put me in touch with this filmmaker from the United States, with James Hoot. He lives in Bali. And my friend Daniel, his name's Daniel O'Halloran. Daniel funded the trailer and sent James to stay with me where I was living in Santa Barbara, and he started filming. So he came three times. We did a reveal party at one point, but I had told them, I was hoping to be done. They wanted it to be done by this AVA conference last year. And I said I would get it done, but I didn't get it done. And so I showed it to people, but I wasn't happy with the image yet, and I told them I would keep working on it, and I did work on it for another year. Now I'm done with it, and now I'm finally happy with it, and they're wrapping the movie. It was going to be a short 20-30 minute film. Now it's going to be a full-length feature because they couldn't get it any shorter with everything that we put in there. We go to a sanctuary. They interview my family. They interview a great artist, my friend David LaChapelle, who comes up to see it and talk about it. We do fitness. I make a smoothie. They talk about my accident, my life before the accident. And so there was so much in it, I guess. They made it a full hour. So they're finishing the editing right now. And then they're going to shop it around to festivals. So we'll see where it gets in, and it will premiere at a festival. And we did a Kickstarter fund. My goal is to get, you know, was always to get this image out in the world. I would love the painting to be in public, you know, to go to shows. And that I'm just starting to look into now that it's finished. You know, I would like to submit it to exhibitions. I want people to see it in person, because it's much better in person than it is digital, because it's life size and it feels immersive and it's glowing and radiant and it's full of love. So I'm really excited to share it.
Awesome, Gretchen. Congratulations.
Thank you, Marlene.
What information can you give to our listeners for more information about Liberty, Leading the Animals, and your upcoming film?
You can go to my website, which is gretchenryan.art. More about the film is Fauna Films. It's FAUNAfilms.org/Liberty. Or if you go to their homepage, it's under Projects. Liberty is what the film is called.
For our listeners, now I would like to share a recording of Gretchen Ryan that I broadcast in 2016. This was December 23rd, 2016, and it is of Gretchen Ryan reading, reciting the Abolition Amendment, a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Here is the Abolition Amendment, read by Gretchen Ryan, a Los Angeles-based artist and vegan activist.
The Abolition Amendment, Section 1. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude of any animal shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2. Congress shall, within 2 years of ratification hereof, establish a system whereby the writ of habeas corpus shall be available to ensure the rights of any animal or group of animals.
For our listeners of this March 17th, 2026 broadcast, I'm not including Section 3 and 4 of Gretchen Ryan reading Section 3 and 4 because those sections are very lengthy. So for interested folks, one can visit the Vegan Nation Archives, vegansradio.com. You can type in Gretchen Ryan in the search box to listen to Gretchen Ryan reciting the full Abolition Amendment, all five sections in its entirety. So we'll close out with Gretchen reading Section 5 of the Abolition Amendment.
Section 5. Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
That was the Abolition Amendment, a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Upon ratification, the Abolition Amendment will bring an end to the exploitation and violence-based industries and practices. The Abolition Amendment abolishes the property status of animals. Now back to our March 17th, 2026 interview with Gretchen Ryan, vegan artist who has just completed her 7-foot by 13-foot oil painting, Liberty, Leading the Animals.
Liberty and freedom. Thank you, Gretchen.
Yes.
Ryan. Yes.
Thank you, Marlene.
And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you so much. It's been so fun.
The animal voices we hear are monkeys. And much thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Let's go out with this beautiful song by local vegan musician Ellie Sarti. Everything Comes Around.
Behind a steel door, behind the concrete and barbed wire, sentenced to darkness, sentenced to living death, though warehoused, murdered. harvest, there are truths that can't be broken. Yes, everything comes around. Everything.
Much thanks for tuning in to Vegan Nation. And a big thanks to the vegan musicians also, in addition to Ellie Sarti and Charity and the Jam Band. We also heard the piano music from Will Tuttle from his album Animal Songs. We heard the turkey song, the cow song, and To Be Free.
Under the heavens, we pray for mercy in our lives. But under our hand, can we show no mercy for those lives we
to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week. At the same time, you can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a safe and pleasant day.